Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, football plays its non-conference finale. Cross country with an impressive weekend. Golf teams were in action. Soccer's in the middle of conference play. We'll talk about their two matches from this past week. But we're going to spend most of our time talking volleyball today. The defending conference champion Red Wolves wrapping up an extremely challenging non-conference schedule over the weekend. They've now won four in a row. They sit at 7-4 going into Sunbelt Conference play. That'll begin this weekend at Georgia State. This past weekend, they took all three matches at the Razorback Invitational. You heard that right. They defeated North Dakota State in four sets on Thursday, had a four-set victory over Southern Illinois on Friday. Then on Saturday, it was the first ever meeting in volleyball between the Red Wolves and Razorbacks, and it was A-State coming out with a four-set win over Arkansas. And here to talk about it, 6'3" outside hitter from Springfield, Missouri, it's Peyton Van Veen.
Hi.
Hi, Peyton.
Hi.
Hey, before we get too far away from this, I was wondering this when we were posting the final from the match against Arkansas. And when you go to these four-team deals, like, all right, sometimes, yeah, I guess usually they have a name, and this was the Razorback Invitation. Did you guys get a plaque for going 3-0 in that?
I'm not really sure.
I mean, did you notice anything on the bus you didn't bring with you?
No, we did not get anything extra leaving.
All right.
I wish we did.
Should.
I'm going to ask you, you're from Missouri, from Springfield, so you're not too far away from Arkansas and actually a lot closer to Fayetteville than you were Jonesboro. Did you have any idea before this past weekend the history or the lack thereof between Arkansas State and Arkansas?
I honestly had no idea at all. First thing I heard was honestly about the football game, that being their first meeting. I assumed we had always played them in volleyball, but then we found out it was like our first time meeting as well. So that was also nice. Like, we got the first win. Like, we have the leg up, I guess.
Was there any talk about it from Brian Gerwig or anybody on the team leading up to it?
I think like right before the match started, he was like, our alumni never got to do this, so like let's make a point. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, okay, like, cool. Yeah,
that's a cool point.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in this day and age, there are some kids from Arkansas on the team, but obviously the majority of you aren't. So again, you're going to walk in and think, oh, you know, until you get told otherwise, yeah, this is a match that's probably happened a lot. Instead, as you meant, like, you guys are a part of history.
Yeah, which is really cool. I feel like that game and then also our Mizzou game, two big history matches, like that's been really cool to be a part of.
So I guess that one did have maybe a little extra juice for you, huh? To get the two cracks at Mizzou and winning the first one. What was that like?
I actually really enjoyed it. I'm not a Mizzou fan myself. So getting to win that game was really, really nice.
Well, what was so cool about that? And I did want to talk to you about the Missouri matches because you got to play them here in Jonesboro. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they were ranked 16th in the country. That was a really good Missouri team that came in here. And you had this thrilling five-set victory at First National Bank Arena the first night. Then you play over here at Valley View the very next night, and it goes five sets again. So where did those two nights kind of rank as far as just your volleyball career? The intensity of those matches, I'm sure, was as high as anything you've ever played in.
Yeah, I'm going to say Missouri is probably like one of my top moments ever. Getting to say that not only I, but like being a part of a team that beat a ranked team, and it's like this whole quote unquote upset was super cool. And like, I think both of those nights were also just a big proving factor of like how good our team was or is. It's just really cool.
You said quote unquote upset, which means on the outside looking in. You're 2-2 against the SEC. Both your losses have been in five. The other one was to Ole Miss. I'm sure you guys think you let that one get away.
Yes.
So am I to take it that internally the team doesn't view anything you guys have done to this point as upsetting anybody?
No, I think we belong in the top 25, and we've shown that. And I think our team, like, that's how we play every day. We don't really see us as, like, less than or anything. Like, we are equal to the teams that we play. It's really nice because everybody has that same mentality. So being able to, like, play with these people, it's like, I know we're all here for the same thing.
We talked about the Arkansas game. You didn't know until right before the match that it was the first ever meeting. So up until then, you didn't know there was history involved.
Mm-mm.
With Missouri, with all the success that A-State volleyball has had over the years, they've never had a ranked win until the Missouri victory.
Yeah.
So did you know before you beat Missouri that it was the first ranked win in the history of the program?
I did know that one because we talked about it the days, like, in practice leading up to it. So I was like, super cool after the game too. And then, like, I saw the post, I was like, oh, we're so cool.
That note honestly,
that surprised me.
Even for a guy that's been around forever, because you're talking, this is a program, it's been the five NCAA tournaments. They've had teams go 40-something and two. You know you're going to spend the first month of every season going all over the country playing these non-conference matches. So it's not even just that they hadn't beaten a ranked opponent. They really hadn't had that many chances. Yeah. I think that's probably the surprise, is how few opportunities. But not anymore. Like, you guys checked that box.
Yeah.
How much fun are you having right now?
I'm having a lot of fun. I feel like there are so many people like-minded in how we play. Like, we're here for a reason. We want to win. We're going to fight. And that's really nice. Like, I feel very at home with these girls. And that was from day one. I felt like I could be myself off rip. And it hasn't changed.
All right. I want to tell your story.
Okay.
You're from Springfield. Yes. We've established that.
Yes.
Now, your parents were both basketball players in college, right?
Yes.
So you didn't get the basketball bug.
I did not. I didn't enjoy running. I couldn't shoot a basketball. I was just tall. But I tried out, got kicked off. So, I mean, I tried.
Got kicked off?
Well, I didn't make it, I guess. I didn't make eighth grade tryouts, which is so bad. Everybody makes it in eighth grade.
How'd your parents deal with that?
They just wanted me to try, but I mean, I think they knew pretty quick I wasn't very good at it. So, you know, they pushed volleyball, and I've been doing that since, like, first grade, so it made sense.
What was it you loved about volleyball?
When I was really young, I just liked hitting the ball as hard as I could. It was a lot of fun to me, and obviously I still do it. But then,
and you never had to pass half court, it sounds like, is the part she likes.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have to run for an hour and a half. I was like, yes, this is for me. And then as I got older, I just, like, you make so many friends, and it's just fun. And you meet so many people, go to so many places. Still, as you get older, you don't have to run that much.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same. You first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Peyton Van Veen from A-State Volleyball here on the Second to None podcast, brought to you by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. So you get to college. You've been to four different schools now.
Yes.
You redshirted at Washburn University. Mm-hmm. That's Kansas, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you did that as a freshman. Then two seasons at Colorado State Pueblo.
Yes.
You were freshman of the year.
Yes.
In 2022.
Yes.
Then last season played at North Texas. So you had one season of eligibility remaining.
Mm-hmm.
Why spend it at Arkansas State?
Well, I went into the portal and I was just very open. I was like, let's see what happens. And I'd actually previously looked at Arkansas State before, and he reached out, and I knew, like, I want to go on this visit. I got here, kindest people I probably ever met. The girls I met treated me like family, even though I literally was there just for a visit. The town, it's very much like home for me, so, like, I felt comfortable here. And just, like, speaking with the coaches, and, like, I had, like, a little heart to heart on my visit, and, like, that's never happened, I feel like, for me especially. And I just felt so connected and so just like willing to be myself with them. I was like, yeah, like this feels good. Like I feel like I can trust these people.
Couple things I want to ask off what you just said. What I'm about to, because you just said it reminds you of home. And that's an interesting comment because I can get it a little bit. Springfield and Jonesboro.
Yep.
I always tell people, like, Springfield's kind of sneaky big. I don't know that people realize the size city Springfield, Missouri is, but talk about the similarities between here and home.
Like, it's a town where, like, you have things to do. You can go past a certain point, and the city does keep going, and you're surprised. But it's more like there's outside things to do. And it's, like, kind of like that one strip kind of feeling, especially where the part of Springfield I grew up in. And I was like, I feel like I've driven here before. Like, I feel like I know my way around. Like, and there was an Andes, and I was like, I've never been to a school with an Andes, just like at home. So I was like, oh, this is literally, I'm just driving home.
We've got two Andes.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I just knew about the one.
The other is from a volleyball standpoint. Mm-hmm. You talked about the people on the visit, but as a business decision, like you got 1 year to play. This is a team that won a conference championship and was going to have almost everybody back. A lot of people might not decide that's the spot for them for their last year. From a volleyball standpoint, what made this the spot?
Yeah, I remember I was talking to Brian and Jordan, and I said, I just want to be a part of something special and bigger than myself. And looking at the season before, they won the Sun Belt. They were close to getting into the tournament. And it's like, yes, you still have that core group. Can we make it back the next year? What can I add? I came in, I knew I would have to earn my spot. I didn't even know if I would play, but I was like, what can I add? Because like, I want to be part of that. And I felt like with the situation they were in, I felt like that could be the spot for me.
I always get a kick out of it. And I know we've interviewed several volleyball players over the years, but it's always the same thing when they call the coach by the first name.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only sport they do that. But yes, Brian, your coach, he's done a heck of a job, and just what he's done so quickly winning that regular season championship last year, what is it that's making him successful right now? What kind of sets him apart as a head coach, and how is he making you better?
I feel like he instills a lot of trust in us, and he knows that we know what we're doing, that we're adults, and that we can make the change. Like, he doesn't have to, like, yell at us, make us do punishments. Like, he just, it's high expectations, and I feel like the people he recruits meet those expectations. So he's recruiting well, coaching well. For me, he's letting me be myself. I like to get a little feisty, and he says, keep doing it. Like, if that's how you play, then that's how you play, and we love it. And I'm like, okay, like, I love that. And that's how he is for everybody. Like, it's nice. We don't feel so closed off from being ourselves.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Explain feisty.
Blocks, especially. I love to, like, yell, and sometimes I might go through the net. I have been warned about that this weekend, actually. Got a yellow card for that this weekend.
Against who?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, Southern Illinois.
Oh, boo. I know.
Sorry, but... Like, I just love that. And, like, the energy, everybody is like that. Everybody's so feisty, and I think we feed off of it. And that's when we play our best.
Some people may, actually more than some, several people probably just learned you could get a yellow card in volleyball.
Yeah, you can. Just got to yell a little bit, and then they'll tell you to calm down and give you a yellow card, like a fun little badge.
And then what happens after that?
I say thank you, and I keep playing.
Is there a red after that? Is that the next step?
Yeah, red, and I would have to leave. So I kind of, you know, you kind of.
So it's like it's
be
a technical foul.
Yeah.
You ever received a red?
No, I have not. And I have not received a yellow my whole college. So this was new.
That was your first
one?
Yes. Okay. Check that box too.
Exactly.
All right. So you've explained that you're feisty. You will yell on shots. Is there trash talk in volleyball?
There can be. Somebody across the net says, oh, I got number 19 on the tip. Say I get a tip on them and I score, and I'd say, oh, yeah, good try. Like, can you say it through the net? It's like a little bit of chirping. I mean, it's nothing like bad, but it's fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear kind of what your long-term goals are. What do you see yourself doing after volleyball?
Yeah, after volleyball, it'll be January for me. I'm going to start clinicals for nursing. Put that off for a couple of years, so I'm really excited to finally finish that. And then I have like a year and a half of that. Start working in the hospital.
Is there like a area
Yeah, I want to do labor and delivery.
I mean, that work's never going away.
Yeah.
Right? People are always going to have kids.
Yeah, so they're always going to have kids, and you always need nurses.
You're also into art. Mm-hmm. What do you like to do there?
I love to draw. I love to paint. Actually, when I was deciding between nursing or business, I thought about being a tattoo artist. So I just like to draw, express your emotions, you know?
Yeah, I see the tattoos on your fingers.
I do.
Explain what you got going there.
My fingers, I just like sparkles. I thought they were cool. But I do have like most of my arm, and I have like people on my arm and just different things that have happened through life. And whether other people know it or not, I think they're still cool. So, yeah.
When did that start?
I got my first one when I was 16. So my parents did have to sign off on that one. But I got my first two for my ACL surgeries.
Plural?
Yes, both. Both of my knees are surgically repaired.
From high school?
Yeah.
Both?
Mm-hmm. Both in high school. They were 8 months apart to the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not even all the way back from the first one, right?
No, I just got cleared. I was about 3 weeks out, and I tore the other one.
Golly.
I know.
Back to the team. Mm-hmm. What do you see this team doing from here on out? Obviously, we're going into conference play. Mm-hmm. I know everybody was thrilled last year winning the regular season, but I'm sure there's got to be talk, right, about taking that next step. And I know you want to end your career at the NCAA tournament.
Yes. I think everybody's on that same page. We've already been talking about, like, with how good we've done in preseason, like, basically, there's a target on our back. Everybody wants to beat us. They're going to play their best game against us. And like, we have to play our best volleyball all the time. I think we keep doing that time and time again. So I'm excited to get into conference and kind of just prove that preseason wasn't like a fluke or good luck. And I think we can get to that tournament this year. I really do.
I'm going to bounce backwards just a second because we can learn something about you here. So you're a kid and you tear an ACL and you got to go through all the crap you got to go through. Mm-hmm. You get back and just a few days later, basically tear the other one. Mm-hmm. Ever think about quitting at that point? Am I going to really start this over and do it again? Like, what's the point? Like, what are the thoughts that are creeping in? Or I guess, why didn't you quit?
Yeah, definitely thought about quitting. I mean, that's like the worst day of your life all over again. And then I was like, I'm going to keep playing. Like, I was just out for a whole year, basically. So, like, let's at least finish strong. I thought about changing my position to a setter. Turns out I am not a setter. Because I was like, I'm tired of jumping. Yeah, and then I just thought about, like, everybody who had ever played for, who had invested in me. And I was like, I'm going to just keep playing for them, whether that's no matter the division, no matter what school. I was like, I'm just going to keep playing because they gave so much to me. Like, that's the least I could do.
It's part of your journey, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes you appreciate everything you've been through just that much more.
Mm-hmm.
This has been fun. I appreciate you coming in today.
Of course.
What's on your playlist?
My playlist?
Pre-match playlist.
Ooh, right now, it's a lot of Party Next Door and Gunna. I like more like sad songs that get me going. I guess they like kind of make me upset.
Yeah, we need to stay on this for a second.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what she just said.
Okay, so sad songs. So it's not necessarily upbeat.
No, not necessarily.
Just sad songs, and kind you're just like mad at the world when you go out there and want to crush a volleyball.
But what's that genre even?
It's like depressing rap. That's the best I could give it. Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, I'm upset. I can't wait to like hit a ball, you know, beat these people.
And if you're not angry already, that's going to make you angry.
Exactly.
All right. You can't go out there happy and just be glad to be on the volleyball court.
I mean, I am at the same time. I am glad to be there, but I got to get a little bit motivation.
Well, I'll tell you what. Whatever you're doing, you just keep doing
it
because it's working.
Thank you.
And we are thrilled to have you here at Arkansas State. Congratulations on all the success so far, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you so much.
Get huge savings now at every Kavanaugh dealership. Kavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Kavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. It was the non-conference finale for A-State football over the weekend. We went down to Georgia, took on Kennesaw State for the first time ever, coached by A-State alum Jerry Mack.
Yeah, who I guess he told the TV broadcast crew when they talked to him that between he and his family, they're 12 degrees from Arkansas State in the Mack family.
How about that? And then you look at all the other connections and John Bradley coaching defensive line for him. John Bradley, an A-State great. Mm-hmm. Granville Eastman, who was a GA at A-State back in the late 90s, same staff as Mike Tomlin, is their outside linebackers coach at Kennesaw. And look, that is a sleeping giant at Kennesaw State because I didn't know much about the history of the school itself. That school was founded in 1963, so it's a young university. The enrollment's over 47,000, and it's just north of Atlanta. It's a nice campus. That stadium is extremely unique. It's the smallest stadium in the FBS, just over 10,000 people, and they packed it the other night, and man, that little stadium gets loud. A really neat little environment. As far as the game is concerned, you know, this is 3 out of 4 weeks now. We've talked about the Red Wolves getting off to slow starts, and it was an extremely slow start again. Red Wolves found themselves down 21-0 10 minutes in. Now, we outscored them 21-7 for the final 50 minutes of the ball game. Three takeaways, a big part of that. It's just tough to overcome that kind of start and beat a good football team.
That's just it. You're just asking a lot, and it's been different ways that slow start has shown itself. But even this time, it was right. I mean, getting the football first and not be able to do anything with it. And then three times now, as you said, with the exception being Iowa State, obviously, that even though you didn't necessarily put yourself behind against SEMO, it was still a slow start. I mean, they went right down the field and scored, you know, on their first possession after we did. But, yeah, it's an interesting kind of – wrinkle to try to work through this team's personality, and that they have been a little bit slow out of blocks every day except one, really.
Got exciting kind of at the end of the half. The strip sack by Trenton Allen Yao. He came in from his corner spot, stripped it loose. Ethan Hassler able to recover, and then a few plays later able to get in the end zone. Just an amazing catch by Hunter Summers in the back of the end zone. It was 21-7 at halftime, and I look, you know how positive I try to be and have always been, but I think I remember saying it on the air, and it was just the way it felt. It was just a feeling of disbelief that we were within two scores because I said it has felt like we were down 100 the entire first half, and somehow they got themselves back in the ballgame. And then in the second half, got back to within one score on two different occasions, and at the end of the game, the defense gave the offense – multiple opportunities to possess the football in the last few minutes to try to go down and tie the ball game, and unfortunately just not able to go down and score.
Yeah, you mentioned John Bradley coaching that defensive line bunch for them, and at least from my standpoint watching that game, I can't remember a time I remember seeing Jalen just get a clean pocket and time to stand back and take a deep shot. I saw him running a bunch. If I'm not mistaken, I saw him throw a pass left-handed.
He did.
They really got after him and made him try to operate that offense from a position of uncomfort or discomfort, I should say.
You got to overcome these slow starts. I still like this team. I think it's the most talented team that Coach Jones has had, and I'm anxious to see if they can turn the corner now that conference play is here. And conference play begins this weekend as we head down to Monroe, kickoff at 2 o'clock Saturday against ULM, looking for 16 in a row over the Warhawks. But this is a ULM team that you have to think is feeling pretty confident. They went on the road this past Saturday and they won at UTEP. A UTEP team that really gave Texas a pretty good run the week before. Look, you got to go on the road now and find a way to win that conference opener.
This is a big game for both these football teams.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's one of eight, and it's the first one of eight and all the things. But, like, I think both of these teams know that this is big for both of them come Saturday. The team that walks out of there 1-0 is going to be feeling pretty good about things. And, obviously, from our standpoint, you know, I think it's imperative to do that and then come home, get back home, and set our sights on, you know, would be a big matchup after that. But, you know, there's always some A-State people can make that drive. It's the shortest drive in the league for us.
It is.
So looking forward to seeing you get down there and create a little juice. But a lot of times had to make your own in that place. Also interested in seeing how their fan base responds to, you know, going on the road and getting a non-conference road win over a, you know, a peer conference team. So
it's
a lot
their
of
homecoming too.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why you schedule somebody that's beat you 15 times in a row for your homecoming opponent. But.
Well,
just saying.
To me, like, here's what I've learned, especially anymore. I could tell you for a fact, I feel like the opponent has very little to do with when your homecoming is.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I'm interested that you don't see many people having it in September.
We scheduled Louisville for our homecoming
right.
one year.
Yeah, it's a lot. Believe me, folks, homecoming's got a whole lot more to do with the date than the opponent. But, yeah, that is an interesting choice there.
Soccer team played a couple of conference matches this past week. They went down to Lafayette Thursday. They finished in a 1-1 tie. And then lost at home Sunday to ULM, 1-0. Soccer now 2-2-4 on the year. They're 0-1-2 in conference play. And they'll try to get in the win column for the first time in league play coming up this Saturday as they play at Marshall. Men's golf, they finished 11th out of 18 at the William H. Tucker Invitational that was played in Albuquerque this past week. Women's golf is still playing at the Schooner Fall Classic hosted by Oklahoma as we record this. So, you know, the golf teams had got off to a really nice start, both of them, the week before, playing in some really challenging tournaments to begin the season. We talk about volleyball and just how tough their schedule's been, but the golf team certainly not backing down from tough competition either. Tennis team had a big event on Sunday. They unveiled their newly resurfaced courts. They updated the color scheme, much brighter out there. They've got Red Wolves logos on the courts as well. And Coach Lama taking his team to the Milwaukee Classic, which will be played this Thursday through Sunday. I think I heard him say last week that it's maybe the oldest running tennis tournament in the country.
Huh.
But they're going down or up to the Milwaukee Classic.
Well, those courts, hey, if you haven't seen them, you'll go on social media. They've got some great stuff from those, some aerial stuff to kind of, they're pretty sweet looking. Nice addition there. You know, I've already noticed they got some new, you know, signage outside those with some Learfield partners. So it's got looking good over there. Look good, play good. We talk a lot about what Coach Lama and his crew have done in pretty short order, and this is sort of the, you know, the next step in the evolution of the tennis program.
One other note we want to mention here, cross country ended up sweeping the men's and women's team titles at the Rhodes College Invitational Saturday. Fourth straight year they've gone to that event and swept it. So congratulations to cross country. And that leads us back to volleyball. They'll open up conference play this weekend at Georgia State. They'll play Friday at 5 in Atlanta, then Saturday at 1. And a big thanks to Peyton Van Veen. Really enjoyed talking with her. Great personality, and you can tell she's excited to be here.
Yeah, and congratulations to them for what they did over the weekend. 3-0. I don't mind sharing this with you guys. So, you know, when it was over, I shot Coach Gerwig a text and said, hey, I know it's a small sample size, but pretty sure you guys are the first A-State team to ever win anything in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
And he's like, is that right? I said, yeah. He said, well, what have we beaten them in, period? I said, well, obviously, you know, the 05 WNIT game. I said, you know, and I think they ended up at the same men's golf regional a couple of years ago, and we finished higher than that. But out of the teams that have gone to Fayetteville, you know, I mean, you know, women's basketball's been over a couple of times. You know, baseball's been, you know, the last 4 or 5 years in a row, whatever that is. I mean, I said, and then most famously, in that same building in Barnhill Arena, you know, we had a 20-point lead in the 87 NIT and got beaten overtime. His response to that was, well, that was the year I was born.
Well, thanks. Thanks for bringing that up.
So they do kind of get that history to be the first team to not just win the first matchup between those teams, but to set up perfectly to finish 3-0, play those two teams, play each other last, and kind of come back home. And look, I know we'll talk a lot about this next week, but you know, make your plans now to be in Jonesboro next weekend as you listen to this for that October 3rd and 4th weekend. Volleyball is going to be home for their conference opener. They've only played the Mizzou matches at home, so they've obviously earned a big crowd to welcome them back. It's Hall of Honor weekend. The 75 team is coming in. There's about 40 guys from that team going to be in that weekend. So, and then obviously the big matchup with Texas State. So that third and fourth weekend. So actually, you go back to the second on Thursday. Soccer's going to be home then. So it's a big weekend on campus next weekend. There's been kind of a couple of slow ones without many people being home. But that's about to change with a big weekend coming up. First weekend in October.
Can't wait. A lot of good stuff coming up. Thanks again to Peyton Van Veen coming in. And thanks to Davey Stinchcomb setting that up for us. Hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and First National Bank.